Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of, 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
Driving home from work at night had become a routine for me. I had just started a new job that required late shifts, and while the drive home through quiet suburban streets was usually uneventful, it was still a bit unnerving to be alone on the road. But nothing had prepared me for the night that would turn a routine drive into a terrifying ordeal. It was a particularly long and tiring day at work. I clocked out just after midnight, eager to get home and finally relax. I climbed into my car, started the engine, and began the familiar route home. The streets were deserted, the only light coming from the occasional street lamp and the glow of my headlights cutting through the darkness. As I drove, I tried to shake off the day's stress by listening to some music. The soft tunes filled the car, and I started to feel a bit more at ease. But my peace was short-lived. As I turned onto a quiet residential street, I noticed a car behind me. At first, I didn't think much of it. It wasn't unusual to see other cars on the road, even at this hour. However, after making several turns, I realized the car was still behind me, matching every move I made. My heart rate quickened. It was probably just a coincidence, I told myself. I decided to test my theory by taking an unexpected left turn down a side street. The car followed. Panic began to set in. I made another turn, and then another, each time hoping to see the car continue straight or turn off. But it didn't. It stayed right behind me, its headlights glaring in my rearview mirror. I could feel my hands trembling on the steering wheel. I needed to do something. I couldn't just keep driving aimlessly, hoping they would go away. I decided to head towards a well-lit, busy area, hoping that the presence of other people might deter whoever was following me. I drove towards a 24-hour convenience store that I knew was always open. As I pulled into the parking lot, I parked as close to the entrance as possible and hurried inside. The fluorescent lights and familiar aisles felt like a sanctuary compared to the dark streets outside. I glanced out the window and saw the car park across the lot, its engine still running. The driver didn't get out. The clerk behind the counter looked up as I approached. "Everything okay?" he asked, noticing my anxious expression. "I think someone's following me," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. "Can I use your phone to call the police?" "Of course," he replied, handing me the phone. I quickly dialed 911 and explained the situation to the dispatcher. They assured me that officers were on their way and advised me to stay inside the store. I hung up and tried to calm my racing heart. I glanced outside again, and my stomach dropped. The car was still there, and I could see a figure inside, staring at the store. The clerk came over and stood beside me, offering a reassuring presence. Minutes felt like hours as we waited for the police to arrive. The tension was unbearable. Finally, I saw the flashing lights of a patrol car pulling into the lot. The officers got out and approached the car that had been following me. They spoke to the driver, who appeared to argue briefly before finally driving away. One of the officers came into the store to talk to me. "Are you okay?" he asked, his tone concerned.
I think so, I replied, my voice shaky.
Do you know who that was?
The officer shook his head.
He claimed he didn't realize he was following you and said he was just lost.
But we'll keep an eye out for him.
Do you need an escort home?
Yes, please, I said, relief washing over me.
The officers followed me home, and I couldn't help but glance in my rearview mirror every few seconds, half expecting to see that car again. But it was gone, and I finally pulled into my driveway, feeling a mix of exhaustion and lingering fear. I thanked the officers and went inside, locking the doors behind me. I tried to shake off the fear and tell myself it was just a misunderstanding, but the experience had left me rattled. For weeks, I couldn't drive home without constantly checking my mirrors, my heart racing at the sight of any car behind me. From that night on, I made sure to vary my routes and stay alert. The routine drive that once felt so familiar had become a source of anxiety, a reminder that danger could be closer than you think. If there's one thing I've learned, it's to always trust your instincts. If something feels off, it probably is, so never take your safety for granted. It was a foggy, moonless night, and I was driving home from a business trip, eager to get back to my family. The highway was almost deserted, and the thick fog made visibility poor. The headlights of my car barely pierced through the dense mist, creating an eerie atmosphere. I turned up the radio to keep myself awake and focused, but the music did little to ease the tension that seemed to hang in the air. As I drove through the fog, my car started making a strange noise. At first, it was just a faint rattling sound, but it quickly grew louder and more concerning. I felt a jolt, and the car...
You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Go to Wix.com.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
The car began to slow down, despite my attempts to accelerate. The engine sputtered and died, leaving me stranded on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. Great, I muttered to myself, pulling out my phone to call for help. But to my dismay, there was no signal. The realization that I was completely isolated sent a shiver down my spine. I tried restarting the car, but it was no use. I was stuck. I got out of the car and popped the hood, hoping to find a simple fix. The cold air bit at my skin, and the fog wrapped around me like a damp shroud. I had no idea what I was looking for under the hood, and the limited light from my phone's flashlight didn't help much. As I stood there, feeling increasingly helpless, I saw headlights approaching through the fog. Relief washed over me, someone was coming. I waved my arms to get their attention, and the car slowed down, pulling over a few feet behind mine. A man got out of the car and approached me. He was tall, with a rugged appearance and a friendly smile. "Car trouble?" he asked, his voice deep and calm.
Yeah, I replied, trying to sound casual despite my growing anxiety. It just died on me. I can't seem to get it started again. Mind if I take a look? He offered. Sure, I'd appreciate it, I said, stepping aside. He leaned over the engine, fiddling with a few parts. Looks like your battery might be dead, he said after a moment. I've got some jumper cables in my car. I can give you a jump start. That would be great, thanks, I said, feeling a bit more at ease. He went back to his car to get the cables, and I couldn't help but feel a pang of gratitude. Maybe this night wasn't going to be so bad after all. He returned with the cables, and we hooked them up. After a few tries, my car roared back to life. Thank you so much, I said, relieved. No problem, he replied, but his expression had changed. There was something unsettling in his eyes. Where are you headed? Just trying to get home, I said, my unease returning. He nodded, but then his smile faded. You know, it's not safe out here alone. Why don't you follow me to my place? It's not far. You can use my phone to call for proper help. The suggestion made my stomach churn. Something about his offer didn't sit right with me. I think I'll be fine now that the car is running, I said, trying to sound confident. He stepped closer, his demeanor shifting from helpful to insistent. I really think you should come with me. It's safer. Alarm bells rang in my head. I took a step back, my heart racing. I appreciate your help, but I'll be okay. His eyes darkened, and he grabbed my arm. I'm not giving you a choice. Panic surged through me, and I wrenched my arm free, stumbling back towards my car. Get away from me! I shouted. He lunged for me, but I managed to get into my car and lock the doors. My hands shook as I fumbled with the keys, finally starting the engine. The man banged on the window, his face twisted with anger. I floored the gas pedal and sped away, the tires screeching on the pavement. My heart pounded in my chest as I glanced in the rearview mirror, seeing his car's headlights still behind me. He was following me. I drove as fast as I could, the fog making it difficult to see the road. I needed to find help, but there was nothing but darkness and fog ahead. My mind raced, trying to think of a plan. I spotted a sign for a rest stop a few miles ahead and made a split-second decision to head there. As I neared the rest stop, I saw a few cars parked and the lights of the rest area shining through the fog. I pulled in, honking my horn and flashing my lights to get attention. People started to emerge from their cars, and the man following me slowed down, then sped off into the night. Shaking, I got out of my car and explained what had happened to the people at the rest stop. They were concerned and called the police for me. I waited there, surrounded by strangers who suddenly felt like protectors, until the police arrived. I gave my statement, describing the man and his car as best as I could. The officers assured me they would search the area, but I knew that he was long gone. The encounter left me rattled and terrified of what could have happened. The drive home was nerve-wracking, but I eventually made it, collapsing into the safety of my home. The experience had shaken me to my core, and I couldn't stop thinking about how close I had come to something terrible. From that night on, I made sure my car was always in top condition and never ignored the smallest signs of trouble. I also promised myself I would never rely on strangers for help in such isolated situations again. If there's one thing I've learned from that night, it's to always be prepared. Sometimes, the greatest danger comes from those who seem to be offering help. Stay vigilant, stay aware, and always trust your gut. It was a cold, moonless night, and I was driving home from a friend's house deep in the countryside. The highway stretched out before me, a ribbon of asphalt cutting through the darkness.
The road was deserted, with only the occasional flicker of headlights from distant cars breaking the monotony. I had the radio on low, the soft hum of music keeping me company as I drove through the stillness. As I rounded a bend, my headlights caught a figure standing on the side of the road, their thumb extended in the universal gesture of a hitchhiker. At first, I was inclined to drive past. After all, who picks up hitchhikers these days? But something about the person's posture, a mix of desperation and weariness, made me slow down. I decided to take a chance and offer a ride. I pulled over and rolled down the window. The hitchhiker, a disheveled man in his mid-40s, approached the car with a hesitant smile. His clothes were dirty and worn, and he looked like he had been on the road for a long time. "Thanks for stopping," he said, his voice rough and tired. "I've been out here for hours." "Where are you headed?" I asked, keeping my tone friendly but cautious. "Just up the road," he replied. "Anywhere you can drop me off would be fine." I unlocked the passenger door, and he climbed in, clutching a small, tattered backpack. As he settled into the seat, I couldn't help but notice a faint odor of sweat and grime. I tried to ignore it and focus on the road ahead. We drove in silence for a few minutes, the tension in the car palpable. I glanced at him from the corner of my eye, trying to gauge whether I had made a mistake by picking him up. He seemed harmless enough, but there was an unease about him that I couldn't shake. "So, what brings you out here?" I asked, hoping to break the silence and ease the tension. He shifted in his seat and gave a nervous laugh. "Just trying to get home," he said. "Had some bad luck lately." I nodded, not wanting to pry. But as the minutes ticked by, he started to open up. He talked about losing his job, his family falling apart, and how he had been wandering from place to place, looking for work. His story was sad, and I felt a pang of sympathy for him. But then, the conversation took a darker turn. He began to ask personal questions, where I lived, if I lived alone, what my routine was. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and I felt a growing sense of dread. I tried to steer the conversation back to neutral topics, but he kept bringing it back to me, his questions becoming more intrusive and unsettling. My grip on the steering wheel tightened, and I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. Then he said something that sent a chill down my spine. "You know, you shouldn't be out here all alone. It's dangerous. You never know who you might run into." I forced a laugh, trying to hide my fear. "Yeah, you're probably right," I said, glancing at him. His eyes were fixed on me, his expression unreadable. Suddenly, the atmosphere in the car shifted. He leaned back in his seat, his demeanor changing from friendly to menacing. "Pull over up ahead," he said, his voice low and commanding. "What?" I asked, my voice shaking. "Just do it," he snapped. "Pull over now." Panic surged through me. I looked around, desperate for a way out. Up ahead, I saw the faint glow of a gas station sign. It was my only hope. I floored the gas pedal, speeding past the spot where he had told me to pull over. "What are you doing?" he shouted, reaching for the steering wheel. I swerved, trying to keep control of the car. "I'm not stopping," I said, my voice trembling. "I'm going to the gas station." He grabbed my arm, trying to wrestle me into submission. "Stop the car now," he yelled, his grip tightening. I fought back, my mind racing with fear and adrenaline. The gas station was getting closer, the lights growing brighter. I prayed there would be someone there, anyone who could help. As we neared the gas station, I saw a car parked by the pumps and a figure inside the convenience store. I honked the horn, trying to get their attention. The hitchhiker let go of my arm and tried to open the door, but I had locked it. I skidded to a stop in front of the gas station, throwing the car into park,
Help!
I screamed, flinging open my door and running towards the store. The hitchhiker fumbled with the door locks, trying to get out. The gas station attendant, a burly man in his 50s, came rushing out, followed by the customer. "What's going on?" the attendant shouted, looking between me and the hitchhiker. "He tried to attack me," I cried, pointing at the man in my car. "Call the police." The attendant pulled out his phone and dialed 911, keeping a wary eye on the hitchhiker. The customer, a tall man with a serious expression, approached my car and yanked the door open, dragging the hitchhiker out. The police arrived within minutes, and the hitchhiker was taken into custody. I gave my statement, my hands still shaking from the ordeal. The officers reassured me that I was safe now, but the fear lingered. The drive home was a blur. My mind raced with what-ifs and could-have-beens. I had never been so terrified in my life, and the realization that I had come so close to something terrible left me deeply unsettled. From that night on, I swore I would never pick up a hitchhiker again. The world is full of unknown dangers, and sometimes, it's better to be safe than sorry. Always trust your instincts, and never let your guard down, especially when you're alone on a dark, deserted road. It was a quiet Wednesday night, and I was driving for a rideshare company to make some extra cash. The city streets were mostly empty, save for the occasional car or pedestrian. The air was cool, and a light fog rolled in, giving the night an eerie, almost surreal quality. I had just dropped off my last passenger and was waiting for the next ride request when my phone buzzed. A new request popped up, and I accepted it without much thought. The pickup location was in an older part of town, known for its historic buildings and quiet streets. As I drove towards the address, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. The streets grew narrower and darker, the streetlights fewer and farther between. I pulled up to the location, a large, old house that looked like it had seen better days. The paint was peeling, and the yard was overgrown with weeds. I glanced at the app to check the passenger's name, Lily. I waited for a few minutes, but no one came out. Just as I was about to cancel the ride, I saw a figure emerge from the shadows. A woman, wearing a long coat and carrying a small bag, walked towards the car. Her face was partially obscured by the hood of her coat, and she moved with an unsettling grace. She opened the back door and got in without a word. "Hi, Lily?" I asked, trying to keep my voice steady. She nodded but didn't say anything. I shrugged it off, thinking she might just be in a hurry or not in the mood for small talk. I started the car and asked, "Where to?" "Just drive," she said, her voice soft but commanding. I hesitated for a moment, then decided to follow her instructions. I started driving, heading back towards the main part of the city. The silence in the car was heavy, and I could feel her eyes on the back of my head. I tried to ignore the growing unease in my stomach and focused on the road. As we drove, I couldn't help but glance at her in the rearview mirror. Her face was still hidden by the hood, but I caught glimpses of pale skin and dark eyes. She seemed to be looking around, scanning the streets and buildings as if searching for something. "Is there a specific place you want to go?" I asked, hoping to get some clarity. "Just keep driving," she replied, her tone unchanged. Minutes turned into an hour, and we were still driving aimlessly through the city. My nerves were starting to fray, and I decided I needed to take control of the situation. "Look, I can't just drive around all night. I need to know where you're going." She finally lifted her head, and for the first time, I saw her face clearly. She was young, maybe in her early 20s, with strikingly pale skin and dark, hollow eyes. She stared at me through the mirror, and a chill ran down my spine. "Take me to the old cemetery," she said,
her voice barely above a whisper. The old cemetery was on the outskirts of town, a place I had only heard about in local legends. It was said to be haunted, and few people ever went there, especially at night. The thought of going there filled me with dread, but something in her eyes told me she wouldn't take no for an answer. Reluctantly, I changed course and headed towards the cemetery. The drive was tense, and the silence between us grew heavier with each passing minute. The city lights faded as we approached the outskirts, replaced by darkness and the occasional flash of headlights from passing cars. We finally arrived at the cemetery gates, which were old and rusted, creaking slightly in the wind. I stopped the car and turned to face her. "This is it," I said, my voice trembling. She didn't respond immediately. Instead, she stared out the window at the dark, overgrown graves. After a moment, she turned back to me, and I saw a glimmer of sadness in her eyes. "Thank you," she said softly, and before I could respond, she opened the door and stepped out. I watched as she walked through the gates and disappeared into the darkness. A sense of relief washed over me, but it was quickly replaced by a nagging curiosity. I waited for a few minutes, expecting her to return or at least see some sign of her. But there was nothing, just the dark, silent cemetery. I decided to drive away, eager to put distance between myself and that place. But as I looked in the rearview mirror one last time, I saw her standing at the entrance, watching me leave. Her face was illuminated by the headlights, and for a brief moment, I saw a look of sorrow and longing. I drove back to the city, my mind racing with questions and unease. Who was she? Why did she want to go to the cemetery? And why did she leave without a trace? I couldn't shake the feeling that something was terribly wrong. When I got home, I tried to push the encounter out of my mind, telling myself it was just a strange night and nothing more. But a few days later, I couldn't resist the urge to find out more. I searched online for any information about the old cemetery and its history. What I found sent a chill down my spine. The cemetery was indeed said to be haunted, and there were numerous stories of ghostly apparitions and unexplained occurrences. But one story stood out. A young woman named Lily had been buried there many years ago after a tragic accident. According to legend, her spirit still wandered the cemetery, searching for something or someone. The realization hit me like a ton of bricks. The woman I had driven that night wasn't just any passenger, she was a ghost. The thought was both terrifying and fascinating. I couldn't believe I had encountered something so otherworldly, and yet it made sense in a chilling way. From that night on, I couldn't drive past the cemetery without feeling a shiver of fear and curiosity. I never picked up another passenger from that part of town, and I made sure to avoid the area whenever possible. The encounter had left me with a sense of awe and dread, a reminder that sometimes, the most unsettling experiences can come from the most unexpected places.